This is general discussion number one, and the date is 8/10/2021. During this general discussion, we did not yet have the audio working for the people on the chat group, so you're only going to hear me, and they're going to be typing in their questions that I'm going to be answering. I have a special prayer composed to begin all these lessons. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, through God the Son, Jesus Christ, in the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in the intercession of St. Joseph, the Patriarch of the Holy Family, and Patron of the Holy Catholic Church, grant you all the graces and all the helps you need to come into the Catholic Church, and thus have a hope to save your immortal souls. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with the spirit of thy love and wisdom. St. Patrick, the Moses of Ireland, pray for us. And the way I'm working this out is, we got the three pillars that are very necessary, because without them, everything, forget it. I could teach them Balloon of Faith, you know, and you're not going to understand it, or you're not going to want to believe it. But if you have those, I want to go right into the basic dogmas, because that's it right there. That's the core. And you're going to bump out a lot of people right on that alone. They're not going to want to, they're going to read those basic dogmas and get highly offended, a lot of people, because it's us against them. The us are true Catholics, the them are obstinate non-Catholics. It's oil and vinegar. When I first converted, God told me, it really is us against them. All those non-Catholics, they're dangerous, you know, and we are different from them. And when you profess the salvation dogma, that really comes home. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be saved unless you're a member of the Catholic Church. They go nuts. These people got such a false ecumenical environment out there today. They think everybody's saved, no matter what religion he belongs to. So we come along and preach the dogma, and we're shocking all these people. Basically, I like it a lot better when at least we knew that we were enemies when it came to the faith. It didn't mean you can't live in peace with non-Catholics. You could, but we're still enemies when it comes to the faith. Just getting to what we were talking about before, when we can protest with non-Catholics about abortion. But what we do is we tell them we can't pray with you. You know, and if you get to talk to them intimately about the faith, you tell them, you know, hey, you know, you can't be saved. You need to be Catholic. You don't have to preach it to everybody. Oh, was that Ryan? Did I write up that? Oh, that's an old letter. Ryan, are you talking about the one about the Trump, about you got to support the Trump Republicans?
Yeah, the
that was a while ago, I think. That's it. About the rhinos,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, I was talking to Thomas Delaney, and we had a good conversation and writing back and forth about your governments and your different positions in our government. And from what I'm understanding, we're in a better position than you are. In the Protocols of Zion, from the Jews, they even said we're going to leave one place in the world to let people speak so they don't get so crazy. You know, so they don't go crazy right away. Europe is already locked down really bad. Ireland is locked down worse than the USA. We still have some type of freedom of speech here, but it's getting very much limited. They're starting to, you know, knock it down a little bit. But we do have a good group of conservative-minded people that are following Trump, even though he's not 100% on everything. But we have these are people I see are ripe for conversions. Well, especially when they see the way we preach, the way we live, that we're for a lot of the things they're for when it comes to morals and law and order. And then when God does some miracles, which we are going to need, because they're going to need us. They're not going to be able to do this on their own. They're going to need God's miracles. That's when you're going to get conversions, like on Pentecost Day, like a whole bunch of people converting when they see God's power working through us. But they need to see that we're of goodwill, that we have, support good causes, like abortion, against homos. We want homeschooling. We're against all these liberal, extreme liberals, Antifa, lawless people, and the black radicals and racists. And so they want to see that. I see God setting up a really big civil war in the United States between conservative-minded people and extreme lefty liberals. Now, even though these conservative-minded people are goofy on Zionism and some things they're really bad on, but they'll come around when God does, not everyone, but when he sees the miracles, it'll start coming around. Okay, by the end of the year, it will be illegal to speak of things. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's in Ireland. You know, is that in Ireland? Joseph, are you saying, can you talk about the Holocaust in Ireland? By the end of the year, it will be illegal to speak of things like Holocaust in social media or in person. Do you have laws in Ireland against Holocaust denial? Oh, good. Your Ireland's not as bad as Europe. France and Germany, forget it. You're dead. France and Germany. If I was in France or Germany, I wouldn't even have a website.
Yeah.
Unless God did a miracle by forcing them to keep up a website. That's why the USA's, it's in the protocol. So they said all the real, we're going to give them one last place on the earth where they can have some freedom, semblance of freedom. That's the USA, where we can still, but that's getting limited more and more and more and more, as you see, as we're going on here. And then Antichrist ultimately knows there's going to be a civil war, because conservative-minded people aren't going to go along with this full agenda. So he needs to come to power, like it says in the Bible, one day with power. Limited nuclear strikes, take over the world like in one day. If it takes you too long, you're going to warn the other nations that he can gather up against you. So in the end, that's how Antichrist knows how he has to come to total power is in the world, is by military conquest and knocking out all the conservative-minded people. And the only bastion of freedom that they're going to find is going to be with us few Catholics. And that's going to cause them to come to us. I believe we're even going to convert the Chinese when they come over here. God's going to use them like he used Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. He's going to turn the Chinese guy to favor us.
Do you think this is the start of the Antichrist?
That's start of it, sure. Well, yeah, the Antichrist is start of it. Yeah, we're in the big time. I have no doubt he's alive. And we're coming. I'll just tell you something. What was it? Happened like... you guys are going to like this. I was talking to Ron Elmy, one of my brothers in the faith, and I was cooking him some hamburgers. He's an older guy. And I said, the Antichrist is right around the corner. Of course, the signs are there, right? But then I turned on this, just to show you how some of these conservative-minded people, what they're really bad on is Christian Zionism. They're really bad on Christian Zionism. Well, this guy, Chris Salcedo, he's a nominal Catholic, has a rabbi on there, this guy, Burrell Solomon. And the rabbi's talking about, oh, us Jews, we always get persecuted because we're superior people. You know, they know that they're jealous of us, and they know we're coming to power. And when our Messiah comes to power, he's going to control the whole world, and we're going to bring peace to the world. And the guy, Chris Salcedo, who's a nominal Catholic, goes, God bless you to the guy. Instead of your Messiah is the Antichrist. I wanted to talk to this Chris Salcedo guy and say, you stupid jerk. Ask him if he believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He doesn't. His Messiah is the Antichrist, and you're saying God bless you to him? I get so angry at this. I do, because it's a spit in the face against Jesus Christ. It's a smack in his face. It's an attack against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this nominal Catholic is worse than the Jew. The Jew is a Jew. He does what he does, right? What did that one guy say? What does a dodo bird do what a dodo bird does? He's an apostate Jew. I expect him to believe that. But we got to pander to that stuff. Anyway, my point is that same day after I said to that Ron that the Antichrist is coming to the corner, this rabbi said, our Messiah is right around the corner. Yeah. Use the same words. He said, our Messiah is right around the corner. Yeah. And his Messiah is the Antichrist. So.
Exactly.
I got to read some of these questions they were asking. What do we got here? We are fighting against hate speech laws so we can have free speech as a lesser evil so we can preach the faith. Yeah, you're right. We're tolerating the free speech. In a Catholic country, you don't have free speech. But we do want it in a non-Catholic country. Mm-hmm. Like when Constantine came to power, free speech was a real good thing, allowing all our religion to come out in the open. But when if it's a Catholic state, no free speech in a Catholic state. Yeah. Yeah, the Chinese, the audio, yeah, I hear the audio's breaking up a little. Maybe because I was yelling so loud, I think. I don't know. I tend to do that every now and then. No. What I think about it here is the Chinese are going to come in here and they're going to work for the Antichrist. They're going to take over Rome, the United States, but they're not going to go along with the full plan. If you look at the China network, they're way better than we are on the natural plane. They are. There's no crime. There's no drugs. They got law and order. They have electric cars. They're way advanced. So God's using the Chinese. And when they come over here, we're going to need miracles, yes, to get the attention of the Chinese leaders. And I'm going to tell the people when the Chinese come over here that submit to them. I'll take the Chinese over this United States government, the crap that's going on over here. Submit to them. Like Augustine said when the Goths came in, they're our next of kin, God sent them to us. But I think God's going to do something, and the Chinese, he's going to convert a lot of the Chinese over here, and they're going to be working with us. And they have a lot of right now they're very technologically advanced with the internets and computers and all that, so... When the Chinese come in here, actually, we submit to any government that doesn't force us, that we're under. We submit. We obey even non-Catholic government, like the apostles. They were obeying the pagan Romans. Given Caesar his due, we do that. And what I'm saying is the Chinese are not going to be near as evil as the United States when it comes to a lot of the stuff that, as immoral as we are. So when they come in here, we submit. We don't fight them. I'll tell you one thing. The United States Patriot people are going to hate me for that because they idolize the United States. The United States is a harlot. It's a democracy. God hates democracies and republics. We tolerate them because we're here, okay? We tolerate them. We obey them if it's not sinful. The only form of government God supports is a monarchy with one man at the top ruling. Democracies and republics are a prescription for rebelliousness, chaos. They don't want to obey one man. So we're here, right? We respect it. But I'm not going to be crying tears out when God destroys the United States. Let me tell you that. You know, I look at the Chinese like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Look at we're going to be sending you some movies, Thomas, a whole bunch of great movies you're going to look at. You can read it in the Bible, even on Jeremiah, where the king of Babylon supported Jeremiah and supported him and actually supported the goodwill Jews. China, to me, I guess, but it's got some type of republic. It's commie. It's more like authoritative, isn't it, on the top? There's not as much freedom of the people and democracies and voting at the voting booth and all that. They don't have that. What's going on? They don't have, like, the people can come up, people power, you know? Right. That's the stupidest thing when you tell people that we can all rule. Everybody can sit on the throne. You're your own boss. You know what we hear a lot in the United States about this democracy bullcrap? No one's going to tell me what to do. No king's going to tell me what to do. Well, wait, they think all kings are tyrants, you know? So the democracy is definitely evil. It implants, but we tolerate it still, though. We obey. We're here. And we vote for the lesser evil. What choice do you have? But they're all evil out there. I never thought I'd have to vote for somebody who supports homos and Zionists like Trump. Trump doesn't really support homos, though. You know, he's doing it for politics. I know the guy. He doesn't like it, but he's doing it for politics. So, but he's given us religious liberty, a real lot of religious liberty. He's against abortion. He's allowing us to homeschool, and he's preventing the Christians from being forced to go against their beliefs. So he's the lesser of the evil. We go for the person who gives us the most religious liberty. That's our first priority. Well, actually, hell is really a monarchy, too. It is a monarchy because Satan is the king. Our Lord says Satan rules. That's our God. Even I use that example in my books. I say, like, Satan is a monarch, and he knows monarchy is the only way of a government. And he forces democracies on people to incite their inner rebelliousness to obey nobody. But Satan demands absolute obedience, just like God does. But Satan's the tyrant, and God is the beneficent king. So Satan uses democracy. Here's another thing I say about democracy. It's not real. It's fake. It's not really real. They make the people believe that we vote and we have power. The Jews and the bankers and the military complex that are behind the Freemasons and the Jews, they're the real ones in power. And the guy who's at the top of the apostate Jewish hierarchy and the Freemasons, it's a monarchy. So even in this country's ruled by a monarchy, but you just don't see it. We don't see it. They let us believe we got freedom, you know? God is not possible. Okay, yeah. Okay, China's not possible. Okay, what's that? Suppose, see, people want to hear these questions when I'm doing this. I have to give them in. I know. Suppose it's just a Greek notion. Democracy. Yeah, yeah. The Greeks, they say, did start that. But even your pagans, most of your pagans, it was always a monarchy. It's the same thing in the family. Patriarchal. The father's the head of the family. He's the boss. The mother's underneath the father, and then comes the children under the parents. And the devil flips everything upside down and removes all obedience to any type of authority. You don't see people wanting to obey anybody. There's no authority anymore. They don't want to be loyal to anybody anymore. I'm my own boss. No one's going to tell me what to do. That's the most trouble we're going to have with conservative-minded people in the United States, that they're patriotic, blinded. Not all of them, but they idolize the USA and their independence against monarchy. But a few miracles from God could turn their head around, and I could preach to them and say, see where your democracy got you? You see where it got you? I mean, how can you complain against pedophilia and pornography on the internet if it's a democracy and you're free to do whatever you want? If I'm free, you can do whatever you want. I can murder my neighbor if I want. This is the end result of telling people they can do whatever they want. And maybe we can convince some of the people and show them. I remember even Pappy Cannon once said that he didn't realize, he sees that in this democracy that we had, there were some time bombs planted in it. So that now things are starting to fall apart, and he was getting a little disenchanted with democracies and with the United States of America. I think you big time with republics, too, somewhere in Italy when they came around in a Renaissance era in Florence. Started with these republics. Ryan is typing, Ryan Chinoot is typing something right now. Yeah. Girolamo Savonarola supported a republic. He was good on some things, but he's bad on a lot of things too. He was an apostate. He glorified philosophy, and he supported a republic. To me, I mean, that's, I'm still here. I am patriotic to my government in the sense that I support its non-sinful laws, because God tells us we have to. There's still law and order here. I'm highly respectful of all police and soldiers, no matter what side they're on. I respect anybody that's willing to put up their life for something they believe in, although I don't support their causes. I'm not one of these, but see, goodwill people, when they see that if we're not going to be showing them that we care about good things on morals and law and order, why should they convert? Who'd want to come into that church, you know? But you see this in the church even, with these people wanting the conciliarism and what's the other one? Where the bishops are equal to the Pope and they can sit in council and they all have to vote. And whoever has the higher vote, then the laws pass. They're undermining papal infallibility and supremacy. That's why the hardest thing I'm going to have today is telling people, if they come into the church today, they're going to have to submit to my authority. And I'll tell you something, anybody of goodwill is going to want that. What do you want to have? Five different people out there submitting to each one, and each one's teaching something different, and they have a different thing with law and order and faith, and then you're all confused and we're not united in one faith? I always tell the people here, when you have to, submitting to my authority doesn't mean you have, if I do something bad or sinful, don't obey me. I told Ryan Chanuta when he visited here, I don't force you to stay with me. If you think I'm a jerk, I went crazy, I went nuts, then just leave. I'm not forcing you, but if you're going to become a catechumen or a Catholic, I demand submission to authority. I want loyalty. You see it in the Godfather movies. I grew up in Newark with a lot of mafia guys. They're way better than some of these traditional Catholics. Some of the evilest person in the world I ever grew up with are these traditional Catholics. They lie. They're worse than mafia people. Mafia people have a code of loyalty. They kill when somebody deserves to be killed in their own group. They're way better. I think I'll have an easier time converting mafia people. This lack of obedience to one man and authority and loyalty is lacking. The thing to me, I say, like with the brothers, when we talk about papal supremacy, okay, let me see, I'll read this. Caleb had a question the other day for Ryan about the hunger strikes who died in British captivity. I want to make sure Ryan's answer was correct. Here is the question. Do you reckon hunger striking is against Catholicism? While Terence McSweeney was on a hunger strike in prison in England, a bunch of theologians of Rome got together to debate it. And Terence said it was legal. I would agree with that. I got a whole thing on suicide that we're going to talk about too. Not every time somebody kills himself, it's suicide. And as I recall, suicide is killing yourself because you hate your life or because you're trying to avoid pain and suffering. But you read in the Bible, we have several examples of heroes. One of them was this guy Razas when he was fighting against the Maccabees. He was fighting against the Greeks. Epiphanius Antiochus, I think. And he ran underneath an elephant and stabbed it and knew he was going to die. And the elephant crushed him to death, but the king was on the elephant. Another guy, instead of being taken an enemy by the unbelievers, a faithful Jew, he tore out his guts and ripped out his intestines and threw them all over the people. That's in the Bible, right? So not all killing yourself is suicide. And I would think even too, like if you want to kill yourself because you don't want to give up information because you're in a military situation, where if you give up the information or the torture, it's going to threaten people. That's not suicide neither. Debbie Alcorinus goes, Jesus himself to respect us all. Yeah. And that was one of the things, by the way, we're going to have on the profession of faith for the days of the great apostasy. The authority issue I brought up just now, because I know that's the biggest one. I'm not going to obey Richard. Well, then you're not going to obey nobody. You don't obey people. Fine. Who you want to obey? I mean, who's doing more work? What I have out there, we want to be as one mind. We want to be united. You can't be united if you have three or four heads professing the faith and trying to demand obedience. And I always say, if you think I'm doing something wrong, I'm not forcing you to stay here, then leave. Condemn me. Tell me where you think I'm wrong. And if I am wrong, maybe that'll help me to repent if I did something wrong. But until then, the big thing is people don't want to submit. Oh, I'm not going to kiss the foot of the Pope. I'm not going to kiss the ring of the Pope. These were beautiful things. Even pagans, they had submission to their kingly rulers. Total submission. You look how slaves behaved with their masters. I mean, what loyalty, what obedience. The biggest thing we're lacking here is obedience and loyalty. I read you say, yeah, okay, Hitler book. Okay, let's see, what are we saying here? I read you say that, okay, Hitler book. Somebody has to take the responsibility, and we have the faith to know if that leader is Catholic or not. Right. That's why I'm making this profession of faith against the great apostasy, because I don't want to. I want to let you know what you need to believe in. Now, let's say if I came out with something new that I just discovered, and you're under me, you're obedient to me, and you don't agree with it, then we debate it. If I turn out to be right and you think I'm wrong, and you say, "Well, okay, Rich, I'm going to leave. I don't believe you anymore. I'm going to separate from you." Well, you better be right, because if you're not, then you're in big trouble. And if I'm wrong, I better admit it, or I'm in trouble. What would the rule? What? Okay, let's see. What does this say? Leader to Catholic. Somebody has to. Yeah, okay. What? This is Joseph. What the rule? What the rule that we should not be under over? Fat as a V. Oh, I got you. Yeah, it'd be overridden in case of hunger striker. Yeah, that would override it. You're right, because that's like a wartime thing. I think I got, like, if they locked you up into a prison where they're not feeding you and you're starving to death. If they locked you up, you know. I don't know if I would take a hunger strike thing, but if it could work. If you know that it works, and but if it doesn't work, then it's kind of stupid, you know. if you know it's not going to work, you know. If they're going to just let you starve, and, you know, and then you die, nothing happened, you know, and then like you got 100 people going 100 strike, and nothing's happening. In fairness, you always admit your error sins as you have in the past. Other sadies often do not admit their mistakes as a sure sign someone is a good will. Yes, right. Thank you. It would work well as it could for the Irish. Thank you. Yeah. Admitting you're wrong. Absolutely. I mean, if. Come on. I mean, you look at the greatest, except for the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, and maybe a few other. I think Moses, Abraham, they all committed sins. David, I don't care. You know, and they admitted when they were wrong, and they confessed their sins, and God forgave them. He punished them, yeah, but he forgave them. And nobody's ever going to be ultimately right if they can't admit when they're wrong. That's a sure sign. Get away from a person like that. And like I said before, even after we debated certain things, and then you said, Richard, I depart from you on this. I don't agree. I think you're a heretic, Richard. Fine, then you leave. Okay. If you're wrong, then you're in trouble. If I'm wrong, I'm in trouble. Oh, yeah, diamonds. Absolutely. That's it. The diamonds are the most stubborn bastards that ever lived. Stubborn, full of vanity and pride. They want to be famous around the whole world. I know them. I told brother, when I left the monastery that one day, Bob Diamond said to me, what is he now? He's a Bob? Peter? Yeah. He said, what do you think's going to happen, Richard, when you leave? I said, well, I was kicked out, not leave, you know. Well, I'm glad anyway. But I said, you're going to be famous for a short while, and after that, you're going to fall apart, and it's going to all come down. And that's it. You're going to be famous. And that's what he wants to be. He doesn't want to admit he's wrong. That's his big thing, you see. If you've committed a sin, and you change your life, but you didn't confess it, you're still guilty. You're going to go to hell. You got to abjure. You got to say, hey, guess what? I really did hold on to this heresy. A lot of times it's a deeper dogma, and you're not even a formal heretic when it comes to deeper dogmas. It's not. A lot of times it's your material heretic. But if you are a formal heretic, admit it. Repent. Tell everybody what you did and get out of it. Yeah, he's talking about the faith that was delivered to the apostles up until that time. The faith once delivered to the apostle doesn't mean once and forever, because the Immaculate Conception was never mentioned in the scriptures. I go into that in my writings. The faith once delivered to the saints up to that point in time. It doesn't mean, even I think Christ said in John 16:12, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you all truth, which refutes the Protestant thing that the church has no right to continue to define dogmas. The Vatican Council heresy was that divine revelation ended. It hasn't ended. Even if the two witnesses and the book of the Apocalypse, you know, that's in the, and they're alive at this time, you see. So divine revelation is ongoing. The Immaculate Conception is the big thing I use, because that's not in the scriptures. It's just not there. It came on later on. Must everyone know your sins? Okay, when you said divine revelation, okay. Must everyone know your sins? What do you mean? Like, no, you don't want everybody to know all your sins. I don't want anybody to know all my sins neither. I had some pretty bad ones. Sometimes, like St. Augustine, his confessions, and I do. I confessed a lot of my past sins. I'm not confessing all of them. You don't want to make all your sins public. But maybe you may want to do that for the edification of others and to help others and to let them know how God was... I do that just to show how great God was to me. How he turned me around and made me a new man. I do it for that reason. But I still don't tell all my sins. The only people you're going to tell all your sins is the priest and God. And right now we have no priest. So you, if you come into the Catholic Church, you confess to God, he'll remit your sins. Because we have no Catholic priest to confess to. That's what he's been doing with us all these years. Now, you know who knows all your sins too, the devil. And thank God doesn't let him always reveal it. Okay. Yeah, it's okay to have a wedding at the Mass Rock. It is, because it was a holy place at one time where they said Mass. When I send you all these movies, you're going to see one movie called The Catholics, and they start out on a Mass Rock saying Mass, where they used to have to say it when the Anglicans were persecuting the Catholics, and they had to say Mass on it. That movie's very telling, though. It's like, we call it like a diabolical prophecy of what's going on today, the movie Catholics. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. When you get it, you'll see it. It's going to shock you. You're going to say, you know, wow, you know, look at these, the devil is way ahead of us. Martin Sheen's in it. The movies we're going to be sending Thomas Delaney have been censored by us for any types of bad languages or immoralities. So they're all been censored, and they're very good. They're not all religious movies. A lot of them are secular movies, and they're good. I was thinking it was consecrated for Mass. So like doing a marriage at the pulpit, it would be a good idea. To have that, pick the holiest place you could. We in New Jersey, we used to go around places, stations to the cross that are outdoors and stuff, and say to stations to church. Never, we won't go into the. Well, then at that point, what were I forget what? I don't think we ever went into the churches. No, not when they had services. Though you can go into a church even now as a sightseer to visit it. You probably could even say a prayer in it. But you can't pray with the people in it. But if it was a Catholic, it was a Catholic at one time. It was a holy place. It's consecrated. Yeah. No. That. Okay. I was thinking. What's that? In reference to the basic dogmas, Joseph had a question. What is the distinction between the consequences that we have and the temptation Jesus had from the devil, and when he fasted? Like he was hungry and thirsty in his human nature. Also, was Mary tempted, even though she was immaculately conceived? Yeah, I believe if Christ was tempted, so was Mary. But it fell on dead ground. Didn't do anything. She's tempted, so was Jesus was tempted. So was Mary tempted. But she never fell for any temptations, in the least bit even. Not even a little bit. Not even in anything. But tempted, yes. Tempted. A lot of times, I'm sure you would know, like when you're praying sometimes, or even the devil puts thoughts in your mind that aren't even from you. Goofy stuff. And you go, where did that come from? That came from left field. I wasn't even thinking about that. So the devil talks in your mind. He talks in your mind. He'll talk to you in your dreams even. But as long as you don't submit to the temptation, and some temptations he brings up in more subtle ways, but as long as you don't fall for it. But Jesus and Mary were tempted. And that was the point. If Mary wasn't tempted, then, you know, they could say, hey, God took it easy on Mary. Look at it. The devil didn't even tempt her. So, of course, it was easier for her to be good. No, she was tempted, but because she was so pure and she never had any stain of original sin or concupiscence in the flesh, it didn't even affect her, just like Jesus. When I say affect you, I mean spiritually. It bothers you, though. You get angry, you know. You get angry at the devil. When he attacked Jesus and Jesus was whipped, I mean, that wasn't pleasant. It bothered him. It hurt him. Physically, but they don't fall to any spiritual sins of any sort at all. So it's okay to bless ourselves when we pass the churches, provided there's no desecrations. Well, if the Holy Eucharist is in a tabernacle, yeah, because it's still there. If the consecration, but it depends. If the English words, like we say, could invalidate it, though, which would mean there's nothing in the tabernacle. But if you're in front of a holy picture, a holy image of our Blessed Mother, or relics in a church, yeah, you can bless yourself. No, Jesus didn't have concupiscence, and neither did Mary. That's one of the side effects of original sin that stays with us even when our original sin is remitted. We have concupiscence in the flesh. St. Paul talks about it really great. He says, there's something in me that keeps trying to make me do what I don't want to do. It's pulling against me. I spiritually want to do one thing, then my flesh pulls me another way. The flesh tempts me in another direction. And so those are the death itself is part of concupiscence, that we need to die, that we're going to have pain, we're going to suffer. There's some things Jesus allowed to happen to himself as miracles, because basically even Mary, she didn't have to die. But if there's two opinions, she died or she fell asleep. But if you believe in the opinion that she died, which is very possible, it was a miracle. It took a miracle for her to die, because she didn't have to die. She wasn't under the death sentence, nor was Jesus. But Jesus died for us anyway to remit our sins. Yes, we can adore the Holy Eucharist if no one is around, and even if they're around, you can do it, like in your heart, you know, but not praying with them. Yes, because it is the Holy Eucharist. But you really don't, like, I'll give an example, though. Greek schismatics have the Holy Eucharist, but I really don't want to go into a Greek schismatic church, you know, because it's a Greek schismatic church, you know. So, I mean, maybe you could sightsee in a church like that, but you have to let make sure they're not having services when it's going on, that, you know, there's no services. You don't want to be seen to be believing like the people that are in the church. So you definitely can't go in there when they're doing some type of services or rituals. I heard about the opinion that Mary died. Yes, I agree with Ryan on that. I used to believe that she fell asleep, but I now believe that she did actually die to imitate her son. Because if her son died, so then she died also. And it was a miracle. Her death was a miracle because she could not die. She wasn't supposed to die unless a miracle happened. Our death is natural because we're under the curse of original concupiscence of the flesh and all that. But Mary's death was a miracle. And I do believe she did die, too. I do. I used to believe in the other opinion where she just fell asleep. Yes, her body and soul went to heaven. Yep. Absolutely. And why? Why? Think about it. Think about it. Isn't that proof that her body had no concupiscence of the flesh? It could not be corrupted. Neither could Christ's body be corrupted. Our body can be corrupted, not hers. She was not guilty of original sin, and therefore she had no concupiscence of the flesh. And even if certain things she did suffer, it was by miracle. Because it wasn't given to her in her nature, because she was pure in body and soul. And she had no concupiscence, so that's why her body could not corrupt, and it could not go to a grave. And that's why Jesus said, King David said in one of his verses, that thou shalt not let thy Holy One see corruption. And St. Paul uses that to prove that David's talking about Christ, but not himself, because David died. His body went to the grave, and his body corrupted. But Christ's body did not corrupt. It went to the grave and stayed there only for 3 days. And then he rose again. Yeah, that's another good one. Thomas Delaney says, plus nobody on earth had her body to venerate, thus we know she's in heaven, as the early Christians would have known where she's buried. Absolutely. Of all people, you would have had some of her relics. The only relics we have of Mary is like her hair, her fingernails maybe, or I think some people say they have her hair, or stuff that she touched. That's another good proof right there, by the way. And you know, that would have been, I mean, who's not going to want to have relics of Mary on top of everything? But it fits the theology of the Immaculate Conception. Yeah, but we believe that's the opinion that Shannon's talking about is where she just went to sleep and they took her to heaven body and soul, which I used to hold. But I do believe she actually died. And so she died, her soul left her body momentarily, very quickly, then went back into her body, and then her body was taken up to heaven body and soul. Christ's body soul separated from his body when he died. His soul was in Abraham's bosom, the limbo of the fathers. And his body was in the grave, but his body did not corrupt. And 3 days later, his soul went back into his body, and then, of course, 40 days later, he went up to heaven with his body and soul. Yeah, if you wanted to do something like that, like now they got Halloween, which is diabolical, where they dress up like demons and devils and witches, you could turn it into a holy thing by saying, dress up as saints. Of course, you don't want to have a female dressing as St. Peter, or like a male dressing as St. Barbara. You know? That's the transgender All Hallows Eve. Yeah, that's not. You could have something like that. You can dress up, but they dress up as saints. Would you explain why? Okay, why she was in a tomb? She probably didn't even go to a tomb. I don't even know if she had time. Maybe she did, though. She could have gone to a tomb. And like our Lord, she could have been 3 days in the tomb like our Lord, and then her soul united up to her body and took her body and soul. We should why she was in a tomb, and all there was lilies when people went to check on her. Yeah, she might not have been in a tomb. She could have been laid out somewhere. We don't know the details on exactly how it happened. Was she in a tomb? Was she just laid out somewhere? And how long was she? What did it take before she went up to heaven? A day after she died? 2 days? 3 days? Okay, let me see. Oh, I agree. I would do Halloween anyway today. Anyway, here's another question. Thomas has got a good point. What you're talking about, just like saints, we're talking about a Catholic country. You don't want to do it in a non-Catholic country because you got all these witches and warlocks running around, and they're going to think you're giving heed to Halloween. So you can't do it in a non-Catholic country. You can't. Even if you dress your kids up as saints, you can't do it. Because they're going to be mingling with the other people, and they're going to think you're supporting that evil day. So when I was talking about that, I meant in a Catholic country, that's the only time you can dress your kids up as saints and I don't even know if I'd have them going around getting candy from people. I don't know about that one. I have to think about that one. That's kind of weird. I don't know. You know, I what is the other thing they have on it? Oh, let's not even talk about Santa Claus. We'll be here for 10 years. Or the Easter Bunny. What do we got? Please don't hit. Yeah, don't. I told as TJ asked that question, it was good. You don't want to do Halloween at all, even if you dress up as saints. What else? Yes, okay. Ryan, there's something, though, and what's the name? He said that he heard that some of the apostles were present when she was assumed. I don't believe that at all. I'll tell you why. What was that?
Golden Legend.
The Golden Legend. Boy, they got some goofy stuff in there. Really watch out for that thing. It's charismatic-y, crazy stuff. Crazy. And that's what they're getting from the Golden Legend. Legend. So watch out for that. But the reason I don't believe the apostles were present, or at least maybe one or two, none of them said anything about it. That's another, by the way, another proof that Revelation did not end with the death of the last apostle, because it's not in the scriptures. The assumption is not in the scriptures. And that's a revelation that came to us later on. And if the apostles were present, boy, you're going to know about it. Someone's going to write about it. But don't trust that golden legend. That's where it came from. They say crazy stuff like CNN had two or three kids and another husband. It's wacky, that golden legend. But I don't. It's a nice story when you read it, too. I read it at that time. I didn't know how bad it was. And I said, hey, and that they hold the opinion Mary fell asleep and was taken up. Not that she didn't die. But the golden legend is dangerous. And in no way do I believe all the apostles were present. One or two, maybe. And they were told to keep it secret. Although that's kind of weird. I think they'd have to say something, too. So I don't know if that's just added on. Yeah, okay. Sometimes when I say the rosary, instead of doing the mysteries, I do a prayer for somebody I know on each bead. What do you think? Yeah, you can do that too. That's fine. Yeah. I'm nervous about Halloween and my kid. Satan steals your kid for one night. Yeah. Halloween. If you're a Catholic, even now, if you do what I told you with the three pillars, don't worry about anything. Just do what I tell you. Do the prayer, penance, study the Catholic faith. Promise God you're going to do everything to become a catechumen. Come to the Catholic Church. You do that, you got nothing to fear from Satan. Nothing. He could hit you on the head. He could make noises. He could jump around. He can do whatever he wants. He can't take your soul, and he can't make you afraid. God will be with you. Don't worry about it. But of course, if you participate in Halloween and go out there, even dressing as a saint, then you're going to get some effect from that. God's not going to like that. How important it is for you to be vigilant for your child. First, for you to be vigilant. If you're not right, if there's one scripture that says, what can be made clean by the unclean? So you first get yourself right and get right with God. Then you protect your kid by the prayers I'm telling you right now. I'm going to go over more stuff on this Lord's Day added to the last one about having holy pictures in your house and altars. I don't want to do it now. We'll be here too long. So I'm almost getting ready to sign off here. It'll probably go on forever. Okay. All right. So I got to sign off now because I got to go. And then we'll be in contact again on the seventh weekday. And Will's going to be in contact tomorrow at 12 o'clock. May God grant you all the graces to come to the Catholic Church and have hope to save your immortal souls and helps. And thank you for all your good questions and for giving me an opportunity to profess the faith like I am, and so other people can also hear it. Goodbye, Ireland, and goodbye, Ryan. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.